could you talk a bit about sort of the actions that Hub Bay's subsidiary took in Guatemala that led to this case?
There is a 50-year story at play here, which I'm not going to go into great detail. But Inco, which was formerly one of the largest Canadian nickel mining companies dating back decades, first tried to get this nickel mine operating in the 60s and 70s, when Guatemala was dominated by a very brutal U.S.-backed military regime. And there was all kinds of very serious forced evictions, killings and disappearances in and around this same mine when it was owned by Inco in the late 70s and early 80s. Then in 1981, and no justice was done for any of that stuff. There was real collusion between Inco and the local military, and a very brutal situation. No justice was done. Inco mothballed the mine in 1981, or closed it, but they kept hold of the concession, which is an ill-gotten concession, because there's indigenous people who have lived on these lands going back hundreds of years. The story picks up in 2004, and Inco helps incorporate a new company, Sky Resources. Former Inco officials leave Inco and incorporate this new company. Inco flips its concession, its ill-gotten concession, in my opinion, to Sky. And Sky starts all over again. And so all of the same problems that happened in the 70s, forced evictions, burning of villages, killing of local leaders, disappearance of leaders, start to happen again in 2005, 2006, 7, 8, and 9. And so Sky Resources was the owner from 2004 to 2008, and then they get bought out by Hudbay Minerals. So Hudbay Minerals, which is a huge Canadian nickel company, enters this long story in 2008, and they take a bad situation, and then under their watch it gets even worse. And so, but they own the liabilities of Sky Resources. And then in 2009, while Hudbay is the direct owner, there's another round of very serious repression against local Mayan leaders, including the targeted killing of a well-known community leader and teacher, and then the shooting and paralyzing of a young man. And so today, there's three court cases in Canada that deal with only three issues, sort of crimes or harms, not with the sum total of all of them. So the three court cases have to do with the 2009 shooting and killing of the community leader, the 2009 shooting and paralyzing of a young Indigenous man, and then the 2007 gang rape of 11 Indigenous women who were raped as part of a forced eviction of their community.
Wow. So now, in talking about that, then I mean, this is a huge case now. I mean, that now that those victims can now be heard in a Canadian court against Hub Bay, right?
Well, thanks to firstly the victims themselves who have had the courage to tell the truth about what happened to them, and then to seek and demand justice. I mean, they're never going to get justice in Guatemala because of the impunity in that country, which is a whole other subject. It's related to this subject, but it's a whole other issue. And so they had the courage to say, well, we want to try and get some justice in Canada. So thanks, firstly, to their courage and dignity. And then secondly, thanks to this awesome law firm, a very small law firm in Toronto, Krippenstein's Law Firm, it's a law firm with like five or six lawyers, and they're doing this on a pro bono basis, but they're brilliant lawyers, and they're very committed to trying to help end the impunity with which Canadian mining companies operate. So unfortunately, this story in Guatemala is a very typical one. There are very similar stories of Canadian mining companies operating elsewhere in Guatemala or next door in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, in Mexico, or across Africa, South America. There's hundreds of these stories, and no justice is ever done. And so this is the first case where some really dedicated and very bright lawyers have taken up these three claims, these civil claims, and have now set a legal precedent in Canadian legal history. And just to be clear, the precedent was set in during pretrial motions to dismiss. So the case has actually not literally gone to trial yet. We've been involved in fighting this case for 3 years, but it was all on pretrial motions to dismiss. So the precedents that have been set is simply that a judge in Toronto said, yes, these people in Guatemala have the right to have their day in court. We should have had these laws in place generations ago in Canada. So it's shameful that we haven't had these laws in place. But it's thanks to the plaintiffs, the victim plaintiffs, and thanks to the lawyers that these precedents have now been set. This trial could go on for another 5 to 10 years. Hudbay is an extremely wealthy company, and they might choose to just fight this tooth and nail all the way, knowing full well that we are fighting this on a pro bono basis. But I don't know what their decision is going to be now that the judge has ruled that this can go to trial in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. And now I think maybe just because in the first bit, I mean, you're talking about this long history in Guatemala. I mean, talk about even the role that Canada has in mining around the world, and what that is.
Well, it's a growing role, and in the last 5, 10, perhaps 15 years, it's now a very well-known and quite negative role. Canadian companies didn't start mining 10 and 15 years ago, but there's sort of a snowball and avalanche process in place, and there's more and more mining companies going to more and more places. And so it's finally starting to get long overdue attention and some media attention in Canada. But in the case of Guatemala, as I said, this particular mining story goes back 50 years, but it wasn't until the last 10 years that dozens of Canadian mining companies started flooding into Guatemala, dozens into Mexico, into El Salvador. There is sort of a tsunami, waves of Canadian mining companies going, trying to push into every corner of the earth. The region I know very well is Latin America, and particularly Central America. And this story you and I are talking about, the Hudbay Minerals case, is about one of about 7 different mining-related struggles that I'm involved with Rights Action, just in Guatemala and Honduras. And this is not the worst case. This is, unfortunately, a typical case. In those seven different mining struggles, there's been killings in a number of them, lots of shootings, forced evictions on a regular basis. In one case with a huge Canadian gold mining company, Goldcorp Inc., that's operating an open pit, that's operating 2 open pit cyanide leaching mines, one in Guatemala and one in Honduras. There's been very widespread environmental and health harms suffered by the local populations, and environmental destruction, water contamination, water shortage, open pit mining, clear-cut forests. Really harmful stories across the board. And the Hudbay Minerals case is just one of them. So the reputation, Canada's much cherished reputation, is certainly getting a lot of hits across Latin America. Canada is known as an imperialist economic nation, that Canadian across the region, people understand Canadian foreign policy simply to be that of promoting the expansion of our economic interests at any cost. Throughout the region.
Yeah. Now, what kind of impact do you see this happening now on the Canadian mining industry in general?
Lawsuits are going to have an impact. For years, the mining industry, and supported by the dominant political parties, and even supported by certain NGOs, have been sort of flogging this notion of corporate social responsibility and voluntary codes of conduct. And all of that stuff is fundamentally nonsense in terms of hard accountability. But they've been hiding behind it, saying we're self-regulating, we are setting our own standards, we're abiding by them, but there's nowhere to hold them to account. And so the mining industry, which I think has sort of been laughing all the way to the bank, hiding behind corporate social responsibility and voluntary codes of conduct, are paying very serious attention to the 3 civil suits that were filed against Hudbay Minerals and that are now working their way through the Toronto courts, the Ontario courts, because that's hard law. They cannot ignore these cases, and they are setting a precedent that hopefully sooner than later will encourage other good and serious lawyers to file other suits against other companies, because as I said, this is just the Hud Bay story is just but one of dozens, if not hundreds, of stories from around the world like this.
Yeah, but okay, Graham, we'll have to leave it there. But thank you very much for coming on and explaining this case, and very sadly, just just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what Canadian mining companies do around the world. But thank you very much for coming on.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks.